You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
It is so good to see you. Now, it is interesting how God works. I want you to look at Matthew 28. You heard this last week from Matt. This is our charge. Those of us that have some foundation faith, kind of grew up in this, we call it the Great Commission. It is not an option. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he reminds us in verse 20, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given them. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. And so we have a guarantee there that as we pursue the gospel, as we pursue making disciples, level one, as Matt said last week, is getting folks saved, having gospel conversations, leading them to faith, or at least being a part of it, planting the seeds. And then finally, don't let them dry up. Don't let them die on the vine, so to speak. Don't let him be a 40-year-old Christian in a 2-year-old Christian mind, Christian spirit. But I believe in order for us to do this, there are certain people that we got to have in our life. Now, I've grouped them in 4 groups. So if you're ever going to not be a big, whiny, hiney Christian titty baby, you're going to have 4 people in your life. Because, guys, I'm telling you, this is not an option. I get many of you are busy. I get many of you are new to the faith, and so you don't have some of this stuff figured out. But if you're not growing, it's because I believe in markers. In your job, you know you're better at it now than you were when you started. And if you're not, there's a good chance you may not stay in that job very long. We need to look at Christianity sometimes just like that. If you're not better than you were when you first came to faith, something has happened. And you're not participating in Matthew 28. And I get it. It could be a lot of things. People say, well, it has more to do with church attendance and all that other stuff. That's a very small part of it. It's how you respond to others like Jesus would respond to others. That's a good indicator, okay? What made Jesus mad, does that make you mad now? What made Jesus sad, does that make you sad now? What breaks Jesus' heart, does that break your heart? The things, you know, the personal sin in your life that we all deal with, we all got a favorite sin somewhere. Your response to that favorite sin is very, very important. If you're just okay with it, you really didn't change, that's a problem. And so here's the thing. At Cross Brand, we want you to grow. Now, there was a statement that I read this week as I was researching this thing. I stole it. It was from Kevin Harris. And he was talking about small groups. And he said, a common concern I hear is my church is a mile wide, but an inch deep. Lots of activities, lots of people showing up on Sundays, but very little growth and engagement. So 4 people you got to have in your life. And if you kick some of these people out of your life, you had them in your life for a little while, bring them back in. Now, I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to Christians. And I'll get to you that have not came to faith yet. But listen, Jesus wants us to make other disciples, to reproduce ourselves. All right? Some of you have taken that literally, and you're having lots of little Christian babies. And that's good. And that's really good. Go do that. But also take an opportunity to remember that we have to recreate ourselves in this culture. All right? Number one, you're going to need a Paul. Now, let me give you some characteristics of this, and I'll give you the scripture base on this. This is not an option. You're going to need a Christian mentor or a guide. Where do I get this biblically? I get it primarily from the Paul-Timothy model. Paul referred to Timothy as his son in the faith. They were not related. All the hard work had been done by Timothy's mama and grandmama. And so Paul comes along, though, and he disciples him. And it's a very intentional relationship. You do this a lot of times. I know I did it. One of the 3 things, right, I did raising my kids was I wanted them to be handy as horsemen, and I wanted them to be handy as ranchers. There's a difference between a cowboy and a cowman, and I wanted them to be both, even my daughter. So I found men, and I sent them to them. There's about 6 million buttons on a horse that the average horse owner does not know about. And I was one of them. And I heard an interview of one of the most photographed West Texas cowboys. And he told me, he said, I didn't even know what a lead was, a lead change. And he said it in an interview. It was Tom Morehouse who it was. And he said, you know what? My son, Gage, is a way better horseman. And you know, in our world, you know, he's one of the king of the Cowboys. And for him to say that was phenomenal. I wanted my kids to know more about the buttons on a horse. And so I sent them to men that knew the buttons because I didn't know the buttons. It's going to take some intentionality for you to have that Paul in your life. You got to have somebody in your life. So where do we find those Pauls? You can find them here. You can find them in our small groups. You can find them by volunteering. They need to be bigger and better than you are in their faith. Not perfect, but it's finding that person that's a little bigger and a little better in a better spot. So what does that mean? It means a mature believer. And as much as is possible, if you can find that, they're the person that can say, okay, buddy, this is how we apply scripture in real life situations. They won't always know the answers. Oftentimes they'll have to go to gotquestions.org right along with you while you're talking to them. They may be in this church, they may not. The one thing that you'll find at Crossbrand is we're kingdom minded, we're not Crossbrand minded. So if there's someone outside of this church that could be bigger and better and be your Paul, get them quick. And you know what? Cool thing about this is if when I said bigger and better and mature believer, if your brain automatically went to somebody older, it shouldn't have. You know who I go to when I have a question about my phone? Any third grader that's close. I might go to old Jacob boy over here when I got a question about a John Deere. And what are you, 15, 16? What I'm saying is, guys, is you need to look at maturity. Christian maturity has nothing to do with age. Now, later in your walk, if you've been a believer for 40 years and you know less than someone and you behave less Christian than someone that's been saved for 2 years, you got a problem. But think about this. You need an honest communicator. Now, I'm going to give you three scriptures real quick to show you what I mean by that Paul. And what Paul would do is he would take liberties in Timothy's life to be a challenger. He would encourage him. So in 1 Timothy 6:12, the Timothy pastor is at a pretty rough spot, all right? It's pretty ungodly. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Son, hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. But also, your Paul is going to need to hold you accountable. Men don't like that at all. I'm not even going to branch out and statistically guess what it would be for women. 1 Timothy 5:23. Don't drink only water. You ought to drink a little wine for the sake of your stomach because you're sick so often. In Paul's day, the water was terrible. And so one of the options for that was wine. And then Paul also was his instructor. There it is, at maturity. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:18, Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they help you fight well the Lord's battles. It's going to be a mentor. I am rereading a book called Why Men Hate Church. It was one of the first books I found when we started this church. Because, you know, I'd look around at my church. We went to a pretty fancy church, and it was a small town church, but it was still traditional, still had the red carpet, red cushy seats, and big organ. You got to have big organ to go to heaven. Choir, handbells. What do you call that, honey? Cantatas, Easter cantata. I like saying that word. I'm going to say it all day. Hey, nothing wrong with that. That's your deal. But you know what? I'd look around and none of the guys that I was at the sale barn with, ranch rodeoed with, at the horse sale with, were there. They ain't doing that. So men are going to be in a little different situation on these four people, especially the Paul. So here's what from the book, Why Men Hate Church. Number one, though men want and need relationships, they rarely use the term relationship. I ain't gonna stop. I could camp here forever. If I tell everybody I am in a relationship with John Hood, that could go south quick. All right, Michael, you're my buddy, and we can do life together, but I ain't holding your dang hand. We're not circling up, and if I do, and you make me, I'm going to give you the thumb, And if you want to hold my hand, you just have to grab a thumb. Number two, women form relationships face to face. Men form relationships side by side. In other words, men need to be doing something. Sitting around talking about feelings. Number three, the deepest male relationships are formed in a crucible, meaning most of the time when men connect to other men, it's through a tragedy or a hard time. Something happened. And just think about how many men are here at Crossbrand because we connected to you when you had a motorcycle wreck, when your family passed away. And then finally, don't push men too far, too fast, or they will pull away. Just saying. Need to give us a little space. All right? Give us a little space. And I'm gonna skip on. I thought that was pretty good, though, right? That's a good book. Now, if you hate Crossbrand and you're a man, help us with that. Tell us why. We love everybody. And we had a lady one time accuse us of being just a man's church. And I said, well, ma'am, we may have swung the pendulum a little bit too far on appealing to men here. But where most of us came from didn't appeal to men at all. Didn't appeal to men at all. You're going to need a Paul. You're going to need a mentor. Number two, to get the Great Commission done, to be the disciples that Matt talked about last week, you're going to need a Timothy in your life. It is that person who you become the Paul to. And yes, that can be a little overwhelming. Yes, it can be a little scary. But this is a person who is either new to the faith or just needs some refreshers. They're a baby in their faith. They may have been saved 20 years, but they are, let's face it, they're a baby in their faith. They don't pray right. They don't handle conflict right. They don't get in the Word hardly ever. They think that just because they come to church on Sundays, it's like whatever that hair stuff was, a dab will do you. No. I cannot feed you enough on Sundays to get you to survive spiritually for 7 days. You got to feed yourself. This is based on a relationship that Paul had with Timothy. And he said, I'm writing to Timothy, my true son in the faith. Not genetics, it was all about Jesus, and that was their connection. So who is the one person or multiple people in your life that you are recreating yourself and you're recreating Christianity in them? Who are you spending a little intentional time with? Who are you praying with? Who are you taking questions from? Now, a lot of people will say, and a lot of moms, their immediate default to that answer, or a default answer to that, is my family. And some of the dads, well, I'm a mentor to my kids. That don't count. You're supposed to be doing that anyway, goofball. That is a completely different sermon. That is a completely different theological principle as to what you're supposed to do in the home. This is beyond your home. Now, Paul talked about others that he had mentored. I'm not writing these things to shame you, but to warn you as beloved children. There it is again. It will be somebody that you will invest in. It will be somebody you spend some time with. It could be on the phone, on the computer. It sure won't be on Tic Tac. My bad. I believe that some of you will lead this person in an organized situation. Here's what I'm hoping for. With the young adult thing that we're starting in February, the young adult gathering lunch, every Sunday, and you'll just have to figure out and be honest. Danny, you're not a young adult. Shane, you're not a young adult. Okay. But we're going to start that. What we're hoping is there'll be some Timothy Paul time. All right. There'll be some time for older females. Can I say that? Seasoned females to connect with younger, newer in the faith. It's going to be an opportunity for us to do that. But that's kind of organized. We're going to meet there. I know at Boathouse every single week, as far as younger people, that happens all the time. It's a weekly, systematic, set up time to mentor other people. It happens down here on Monday nights. It happens several times during the week at Crossbrand. But here's the other cool thing about that is some of this is just going to be providence. It's just going to be the Lord's timing. In other words, you may go to work and there's a kid there or an adult, and they ask you a question, or they make a statement, and it opens the door wide open for you to talk, and you grab that opportunity. Now, here's what scares most of you about that. Your response most of the time is, I'm not ready. They're going to ask me a hard question. I don't know if some of you remember this. He and Chelsea are doing ministry, inner city ministry, building homes now. But Will and Chelsea Carr used to go here. And they're missionaries now. I got tasked providentially. Will asked, hey, could I just meet with you once a week? And we didn't have a plan. But he'd show up with a notebook of questions. I didn't know he was going to do that the first time. Second time, I had every commentary laid out on my desk. I had the laptop ready, gotquestions.org. Now, some of them I could just go right to. Others I couldn't. When we first started Crossbrand, and Brett will attest to this, I asked each of our leaders, especially the lay pastors, to carry around a notepad in their pocket. Because remember, a short pencil is better than a long memory. Right? And so when questions would come up during the week, they'd write it down. Now, Brett was the king at this. He'd write it down. And we'd just sit down, and we would, once a week, talk about concerns and questions. It'll be a little spooky for some of y'all at first, but the Lord's going to help you through it. And guys, this is not an option. If we're going to be kingdom-minded at Crossbrand, if we're going to continue to see the amount of baptisms and professions of faith that we've been seeing, if we're going to continue to see people grow, you got to have these four people in your life. You got to have a Paul. You got to be a Paul. You got to find a Timothy. Number three, you got to find a Barney. You got to find old Barney. I love Barney. Not the big, fat, purple guy. Honey and I had to go to therapy over that. I love you. You love me. I'm going to choke the life out of you. The ones that are laughing are the parents my age that had to live through Barney. It could have been worse, parents. We could have had to sing Baby Shark. So Barnabas was the one guy that came alongside Paul, always encouraging. Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus. Nobody believed Paul right after he got saved. His reputation was so tarnished. His past was so bad. But yet old Barney comes in and says, hey, this dude's okay. It's a Christian who encourages another believer in their walk with Jesus. Now, I will tell you this. If you don't have a Barnabas and you're not a Barnabas to somebody, that's a huge link in this Great Commission. Because there are so many things to become discouraged about in this culture. If you think that everything is going to be okay and hunky-dory with your life after the inauguration, you need to be on medication. I think life will be better in many senses, financially, some of the issues that we've been dealing with, I think it will. Heck, I even heard that Trump may bring Tic Tac back. Funny, some of you are going to leave here and that's all you heard. You need somebody you can be transparent with and somebody that you will be transparent, let them do it. Now, if you're a visitor here, hear me out, hear my spirit. I use the phrase kick, cuss, or cry. And you're going, oh. Come on, man. There's got to be some authenticity to relationships. That's why so many preachers quit. Because they ain't got somebody they can kick, cuss, or cry to. The first time I did it, and I don't think I cussed. I just think I was real honest. It was with a guy, and he says, pump the brakes. Rein it in. You can't do that. You can't say that. You can't think that. You can't feel that way because you're a preacher. So I didn't. Until I begin to look in Scripture and I go, well, Paul did. I don't know sometimes the difference between transparency and accountability, but I know you got to have somebody you can be transparent with. Somebody where mutual, what I call CIA, happens. And that's what we have to have. We have to have a cheerleader. We have to have an instructor. And we have to have an accountability partner. Somebody that will say, attaboy, attaboy. Attaboy. Somebody that will say, number two, have you thought about this? Can we look at this situation and this scenario? And then finally, you might need to have somebody that can say, hey, whoa, is that really the best option? Guys, we gotta have these four people in our life. In order for us to do what Jesus said, in order for us to be what we're supposed to be at CrossBrand, a fourth and final person. And would you believe, when I googled this and I asked them, and sometimes that chat, I don't know who Chad is, Chad AI, but some dude named Chad AI told me when I typed in, what are the main people you need in your life? They never once did chat say a word about this last one. You need a Barney, but you're going to have a Sammy or a Rich. Now, what am I talking about? A Sammy is an unbeliever with a messy past. Reason I call it Sammy, it's because I ain't got good sense, but in John chapter 4, soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said, please give me a drink. They got into a conversation. This woman had so many practice husbands. Man, she was living with at the time, wasn't her husband. She was lost. And she wasn't lost because of her relationship status. She was lost because she was just trying to get to heaven. Do good. Balance the scales. But she was messy. Jews hated Samaritans. But yet Jesus went out of his way to talk with a person that was in a really, really messy spot. Who is your messy person? Now, most of the time, it probably ain't going to happen at church. It's probably going to be at your job, at your school, It might be your next door neighbor. But it's this person that is undeniably an unbeliever. And they may be involved in some illegal activity. They may be involved in addictions. But it's persons with an unbelieving heart and a messy life. And then you got one that's the hardest to reach. And best of grace to you is a rich. I call this rich because he is an unbeliever with a religious past. Boy, they're hard to crack. Because they don't know they're lost. And they may go to Mass every week. They may go to confession. They may go to their version of church. They may have a heritage of faith, you know, their family. But it's like Matt said last week, first indicator that as you ask them, are you a believer? Are you a follower of Jesus? And they go, I was baptized when I was. That's not, that don't make you saved. I'm a member of, that don't make you saved. And this guy comes to Jesus and he says, Teacher, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. And Jesus reminds him, well, there's more to it than that. And really his love was for his money. Guys, this is what I call the front side of the Great Commission. It's what I call the front side of the Great Commission. Now, I will be honest with you. I haven't personally got to lead anybody to the Lord. You know, that sinner's prayer that we pray here every Sunday. I haven't got to do that in my personal life for a long time. I've been planting, I've been farming though, planting seeds. That's one of the reasons why I'm so thankful that you don't always allow me to be in an office 40 something hours a week, because you know the best ministry is beyond these walls. Okay, somewhere. Either the rodeo, Cell Barn Cafe, or somewhere. Who is your Sammy? Who is your Rich? Somebody that you can have a gospel conversation with. Somebody that you can just plant seeds, pray with, stand with during hard times. Did you hear that, men? If you have somebody in your life, in your community, on your job, that is going through a tough time, the best way to open a door to the gospel is to just stand with them during their hard time. Especially men. This is your opportunity to be in it. I'm going to close. I apologize for going over. Christianity without discipleship is pretty much Christianity without Christ. Now, Hitler hung that guy, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he knew there was more than just seeing a person saved, you know, pray a prayer or whatever. He knew that we had to develop people, to have connections with people. We have to have these four people in our life to ultimately make disciples. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you that people have braved the cold. We thank you that your word is pretty clear this morning. All I ask, Lord, is that you prompt people to ask themselves, do they literally have those four people in their life? And are they one of those four people to someone else? All right, guys, just keep your heads bowed. Just for privacy and focus. If you're here this morning, you haven't taken the step to invite Christ into your life. Listen, I can't promise fame and fortune and success in your life. But what I can promise you, if you invite Christ into your life, there's going to be two things that happen. Number one is you have help in this life. And number two, you have heaven later. And so let's start this new year right. If you have never invited Christ into your life, you can come down here if you want to and talk to one of these prayer partners. Number two, you can, from right where you sit, say, Jesus, I'm a mess. I am a sinner. Please forgive me. Please change me and help me walk with you.
HLEradio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.